ask Tim when he comes to introduce his family to us, please, Tim, if you would, so we know who they are, so we can greet them afterwards. Good to have you here today. Now it is my great joy, folks, with sincerest of heart, to present to you Pastor Tim Bierman, the lead pastor of this Fellowship Baptist Church called Eastwood.
I think we would be remiss if we didn't give a hearty thanks to our brother for his faithful ministry here over the past few years. So, obviously you've met my dear wife Tanya, my daughter here Lauren is with us. Lauren is our number four, depending on how you count, or number three. Sorry, my wife's looking at me going again. But Lauren, if you could just quickly stand. I know that's embarrassing for you, but if you could do it anyways. And then my youngest son, Matthew. Matthew, if you could stand up. Thank you. And Matthew's here with his girlfriend, Michaela. You don't have to stand up. And then I also have two older children who are not able to be here, Aaron and Michael. They're going to be staying in Barrie, and we're going to miss them, but we're going to enjoy your fellowship here. I've been asked by Jerry just to share, you know, what my vision is for Eastwood Baptist Church in the coming months and years. And as I do that, I just want to say, first of all, that you know, I know you a little bit, but I don't know you that well yet. So what I'm going to have to share with you is more of my heart towards what I believe is the church of God. We are all a part of the church, whether it's Eastwood, whether it's Faith, whether it's another church that believes in the gospel and preaches the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the church. So I want to tell you a little bit of where I come from. As I was preparing for this, I was thinking about John's letter. When he talks in Revelation chapter 3. One of the churches he addresses is the church at Laodicea. And if you remember that church was wealthy. It was had a lot of things. It had a lot of material prosperity. And the Lord comes to the church and says, you know, I know you've got all these things, but really, they don't amount to very much. In fact, you're pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And I'm certainly not saying that about you here at Eastwood, but as I've made three trips to India in the past year, and I've been to Costa Rica on missions trips, and as I've seen how, you know, seen God's church in other places of the world and what people are ministering with and the challenges that they're ministering under, I have to ask and say, why are we here? Jerry mentioned the fact that God is sovereign. And I look at myself and I say, why did God put me here in Canada? Why do I have believing parents? Why all these blessings? And as I see my brothers and sisters around the world who are ministering in such deplorable conditions, I've got to say, you know what? I'm here so that I can bless them, to use my resources to build God's church, not only here, but across the world. And so as I thought about that and I thought about what I was going to say this morning, the thing that concerns me most about the North American church is we're prosperous, but are we really alive? And I was reading Charles Bridges recently, and he says, the kindness of the world is far more formidable than its enmity. Many who were prepared to stem the torrent of its opposition have yielded with compromising indulgence to its paralyzing kindness. It's a great quote. And really speaks loudly to the sleeping, I would call the sleeping North American church. Very prosperous, but are we really, really building God's kingdom? I want to say a little bit about my perspective of the scriptures. I believe that this book is infallible and inerrant. I believe that it is the Word of God. Now, even this is not the original manuscript. I believe that God in his sovereignty has preserved his word for us so that we can have complete confidence, no matter what version of the Bible we're reading, that these are the words of God. They are infallible and they are inerrant. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says that this book is sharper than any two-edged sword and able to divide soul and spirit. It's living. It's active. It's powerful. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, a couple of verses I hope you've all memorized. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for training, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I believe that about this. And I study it every day. Not so that I can give you a sermon, but so that I can be fed, so that I can have a relationship with the God of the universe. It's awesome when we think about it that way. Then I think, you know, as I think about the scriptures, I think about us. What about you and I? What's our purpose? Why are we here? I mean, I talked about it a little bit when we started. But I think of the Westminster Catechism, and I think of the London Baptist Confession of Faith. Not many of you know what that is, but it's what we used to believe as Baptists. But one of the first things it says is, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And, you know, Tanya and I, as we sat up there, I think we felt a little bit embarrassed. It's kind of nice to be the center of attention, but, you know, it's not about us. It's about our great God. It's about the most wonderful thing that he has done in giving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to save us from our sins. The only reason why we're here today. And I want to say that God is most glorified when his Son is lifted high. And that's certainly one of the things that I want to do here at Eastwood Baptist Church. And then I think I would be remiss if I didn't recount probably one of the most important verses in the scriptures about what the role of the church is, and that's Matthew 28, the Great Commission. The last thing that Jesus said as he left his disciples and ascended up into heaven, what did he say? Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them everything that I've commanded you. So, you know, as we think about those verses, what's the key? What is the church to be about? It's about making disciples. And how do we do that? We do that by going, we do it by baptizing, and we do it by teaching. And it's my hope and my heart's desire and my prayer that in the coming days, as we go out into the community of St. Thomas and the surrounding areas, that we will be a going people. We're going to see baptisms, and we're going to see people growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming his disciples. Well, finally, Jerry has referred to Paul's letter to Timothy, and it's a really important couple of letters because it's one pastor to another pastor, and he's giving him instruction as to what he should do as a pastor. So we're going to take a real quick run through 1 and 2 Timothy. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we could focus on in the scriptures about what the church is to be and what a pastor is to be. But what I want to focus on are, what does Paul command Timothy to do? Paul, the older pastor, is about to leave the world. He is entrusting this ministry to Timothy. What does he command him to do? So if you can't follow along, don't worry about it, because we're going to be going through these verses very quickly. First, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul says, command certain men not to teach any different doctrine. What's he saying there? He's saying, Timothy, I want you to protect the truth. Without these, love, good conscience, sincere faith will be lost. Command certain men not to teach different doctrine. This is basically talking, stay true to the gospel. And then chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul builds on that, and he says to Timothy, he gives him the charge to wage a good warfare. And, you know, it's a fact that if we're going to stay faithful to the word of God, it is going to be a warfare. as our world continues to go farther and farther away from God and farther away from the truth of the Scriptures, we're going to be persecuted if we're going to stand up for truth and for righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, pray for all kinds of people. My friends, Eastwood Baptist Church is going to go nowhere unless we're a praying people. We need to be in prayer. Probably even more, the most important thing that we can do as God's people is to be praying. Pray, 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 and pray some more. And when you're done, do a little bit more praying. You can't err when you fall on your knees and you go before the God of the universe and seek him for the things that he's revealed in his word. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. We're skipping over a couple of chapters. There's obviously a lot of things in between that we could be doing, but again, I'm focusing on some of the things, the commands that Paul's given. 4:6, 1 Timothy, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. And notice that the context of 1 Timothy 4 is many people departing from the truth. So Paul says, in light of the fact that when in the end times, as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, one of the things, one of the characteristics of those days is going to be a departure from the word of truth. And Paul says, make sure, Timothy, that you keep reminding God's people of God's truth. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, there's a whole list of things that Paul tells Timothy, and I'm going to run through them, and you can follow them. I'm not going to read the verses, but he says, command and teach these things, set an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. He says, devote yourself to the public reading of the Scriptures, to exhortation, the teaching of Scripture. Do not neglect your gifts. Practice and immerse yourself in these things. And then finally, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. And I want you to know that as your pastor, one of my commitments is to spend extended periods of time each and every day in personal devotion. It's one of my habits to get up early in the morning and spend at least an hour, usually two, reading God's word, meditating on it, and praying over it. Because I need that if I'm going to lead. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage each one of you, as maybe you've made some resolutions for 2015. I want to tell you that probably one of the best resolutions that you can make for this year, if you forget all of them, you've already broken most of them, I think. But if you want to keep one, the most important one that you can keep is be a student of the Word of God. Because by that Word, God will transform you and make you into something that you never dreamed you could be. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, I charge you, keep the command unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very interesting how Paul here unites the teaching and preaching of the word with behavior. And he's saying in these verses, make sure that what you preach, you live. Live it out. And again, that's just such a most, you know, if you think about what's the perspective that most non-Christians have of the church. I'm going to say a phrase, and I'm sure you can finish it. The church is filled with hypocrites. Okay? Now, some of that is undeserved, but some of it is deserved. And, you know, I hope that it's already here at Eastwood, and it will continue to be, that when people look at Eastwood Baptist Church, they'll be able to say, now there's a group of people who practice what they preach. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20 says, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And, you know, that really is talking about a fearlessness when it comes to God's word and God's truth and standing up for what is right. I know that oftentimes that's not our first response. When we think of persecution, it's like, whoa, and you know, it's just been so refreshing to see my brothers and sisters in India who, when they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are baptized, they literally can lose their lives. And yet, joyfully go into the waters of baptism and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, really convicted. 2 Timothy chapter 1, oh, I've already read that one. 2 Timothy 1:8, share in the suffering of the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:13, follow the pattern of sound words. Guard the good deposit. And as I read these, you know, one of the recurring themes throughout 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul to Timothy, over and over again, be faithful to the word of God. Keep preaching the word of God. Remind people of the word of God. Build your life on the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:14, remind of these things, the need for endurance in the faith. 2 Timothy 2:14, another great passage. Where Paul is saying to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And again, it's my hope and my prayer that in the coming days, if you're not already there, that Eastwood Baptist Church is going to be a group of people who can be described as workmen who rightly divide the word of truth, have no need to be ashamed whenever they're challenged with truth and with false teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, flee youthful passions. You know, I want to let you know, and I'm sure you already do, but just in case you didn't get it, I'm just a man. I'm a poor sinner that God has chosen to serve in this capacity. And I have feet of clay. I have struggles with sin, and I need grace each and every day to overcome my sin. And I know that at any moment, if God was to remove his grace, I would fall into terrible sin, because that is our nature. What does the scripture say? Apart from God, what can we do? What does Jesus say in John chapter 15, verse 5? I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. For without me, what? You can do nothing. We can't do anything apart from our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I shortened that down a little bit, but you got the point. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 through 26. Don't get entangled in foolish controversies, but stick with the truth. Again, Paul reminding us of the centrality of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, continue in the teaching. Paul's saying to Timothy in that verse, I want you to continue in the teaching of the scriptures, the teaching of the apostles. Even though many are falling away, stay faithful. And then finally in 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach, be ready, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And, you know, it's interesting. It's great. We love exhortation. We love encouragement, but We kind of start rubbing our hands slightly and gritting our teeth when we think of reproving and rebuking. But you know, it's a fact. I need it. I need to be reproved. I need to be rebuked at times. And we all find ourselves in that places. So I'm trusting that the ministry here is going to be a well-rounded ministry of encouragement and exhortation, but also those times of rebuking and exhortation to faithfully follow in the path of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in conclusion, I just want to read a couple of passages that Paul talks about his own weakness. And he says in 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul has this thorn in his flesh, and he's prayed three times. He's asked God to remove it from him. And listen to what God said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And what was Paul's response? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Well, you've got a little bit in a nutshell of what my perspective is on the church and what my dream and goal is for Eastwood Baptist Church. My friends, it's not going to happen because I'm here. It's not going to happen because I'm a good teacher or a good preacher. It's only going to happen because God, in his sovereign grace, chooses to bless us with favor. So let us bow together at this time and ask God for that as we anticipate this new start to ministry here at Eastwood. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, Father, we confess that we are weak, we are frail. We agree with the Scriptures, our Father, that without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, as we think about ministry, as we think about the task that you've given us to make disciples, to go into all the world, to baptize, and to teach people everything that you've commanded, Lord, we ask, we throw up our hands, and we say, Father, who is sufficient for these things? But Lord, we remember that your grace is sufficient. And so, our Father, we pray for your rich grace and mercy on us as a fellowship here, as we seek to fulfill the Great Commission here in St. Thomas. Bless us now, O Father, with the powerful presence of your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us forward. And Lord, our prayer is, in all things, that your name would be lifted high, that you would be glorified, that everyone might know the wonder and the beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we pray these things in his name and for his glory.